Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Well, we're not just talking about raid, we also need to talk about other important things. And that is this whole controversy around Shell Corporation. What are they doing? What is going on? We need to try and understand this more. We've certainly seen a very, very strong social media campaign, quite negative as far as Shell is concerned. What is the story there? Well, Sinugugu Zikulu is the program manager at Sustaining the Wild Coast. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity.
So can we just get a sense, because for many of us, what happens is we focused on all sorts of things and all of a sudden we start to hear some news around Shell in the background. We see a social media campaign, but then we enter the conversation just a little bit late. So give us a bit of an overview as to what is going on here.
Okay. Well, what's happening is that Impact Africa applied back in 2013, applied to PASA, which is the Petroleum Agency of South Africa. So they applied and back then. And some organizations like Deep Sea Angling, your skip boat clubs and all of that in the border region closer to Islana, they were aware of this and they commented in that particular process, which was very limited. From what we hear is that the process we hear from the attorneys, actually Ricky Stone, who is the attorney for the first case that we're waiting judgment this morning at night. Says the process was not completed. It just went silent before the administrative law procedures were actually completed. All at a sudden now, it resurfaces. And from what we have heard from now with the court proceedings is that actually the permit or the right to explore, which they were given back then, expired, and they have been reapplying to renew and then reapplied. I think they have got the third one now. But in the process also, the law has changed. And so from what it was back in, you know that there were new regulations under NEMA, which were enacted amended in 2014. So, but that's something, that's an argument that the lawyers could handle. With you. On our side, as coastal communities now, I'm speaking myself as Mpondo. I come from Bondoland in the Wild Coast. I'm a member of the community here. So as coastal communities in the Wild Coast now, we were never consulted back then. We, for instance, engaged with our royal family in our king's family, to find out, because it has come out in the EMG and in the minutes that there was a certain somebody by the name of Stevenson who claimed to represent all the kingdoms along the coast. And we had to find out from the royal family whether they know anything back in 2016 that they appointed somebody to represent them, only to find that It's a lie. It's not true. They never, they don't know anything. So in other words, as Amambondo, with our own kingship here, we were never consulted. And this is very concerning for us, because as coastal communities, we are reliant on the ocean for various reasons. So, for instance, if I don't know if you would allow me to talk to that. The ocean is a source of livelihood. You would see, if you were to come down in the Wild Coast during the spring low tide, that's the time the ocean is the busiest.
Right, most
of and you know that the spring low tide happens twice per year. Right. So the people collect your marine living resources, your limpets, your oysters, your mussels. They are very, very busy. So the ocean is heavily utilized. They are also, government has also, I think, through the Act of Marine Living Resources, through the challenge which was done by the communities. So the government has found themselves forced to allow the communities to actually to be able, even in the MTA areas, to be able to harvest your crayfish and also fishing, which, and they've even set up cooperatives for these coastal communities to actually group themselves into co-ops, which government has promised them that they will have boats which they will use to go offshore to fish and also harvesting the crayfish, and they will be linked to the market.
Right.
In other words, there are plans afoot where the coastal communities will be engaging in economic activities to earn an income in the face of the unemployment rate, which is the, I know that nationally we talk of about 30 something unemployment, but in rural areas we are looking at up to 70% of the unemployment rate.
Right.
So these coastal communities have been, they are in that particular process. And the coastal communities also, all the African independent churches, you know, these churches wearing the white clothes with the drums that you see in the parts of the job. Those people here in the coast, their baptismal point is the ocean. So you see this when you go to Durban, you see the people going.
In other words, the ocean is absolutely part of every aspect of people's life, whether it's religious ritual, whether it's livelihood, whether it's recreation, no matter what, whether it's just daily life. This is part of life in the area, and of course, it's heritage for the whole country.
Yes, and also it is. That's the point I was about to make, to say. It's a common age for all of us because you know that during the holiday season, as we're approaching the festive now, everybody, there are more South Africans that come all the way from the inland provinces to come to the coastal areas. So if we're looking at, for instance, our tourism, the strength, the backbone of the tourism industry in this country relies, the majority of that economic activity is also utilizing dependent on the coastline.
Right, but are we not, what you're saying, I mean, is obviously absolutely unarguable, but this new initiative by Shell, is that now a threat to all of the above?
Yes, it is a threat to all of the above. It's a threat to constitutional rights of the coastal communities to have and access to a safe and healthy environment, which is a constitutional right which we have as people in this country. So if it's a big if the oil is found and burned, the next thing we have our government giving permission for this oil to become, that means all of these rights and all of these economic activities, all of this dependence is thrown away. So people will lose livelihood, you lose their religious practices and all of that. So in terms of the tourism, because we know, you can Google search, in terms of the amount of oil spills that happen daily and yearly, we're talking of thousands wherever and whenever there is oil being pumped out of the ground. There are oil spills. We know what has happened to indigenous territories of the people in the Niger Delta. So people live with the oil spills, with the water that is polluted, with the soil, with the marine, where they can no longer fish because the fish is being killed. So it threatens the rights of the people, the rights of the indigenous people, the rights to a safe and healthy environment. And for the government to fail to have us consulted on something that will directly impact on our lives, that raises serious concerns for us, because it means our government favors more of the corporate and also the so-called the economic growth recovery, despite the rights of the people who are relying on the ocean for livelihood. That it is the reason why we are taking Shell and government to court on this second case, which was filed yesterday, in order to challenge them under that. This, in terms of the law in this country, we should have been consulted.
So what is likely to happen? How do you think this is going to play out?
It's very difficult for anybody, including you, to predict what. But what we are looking for is for the government to interdict and follow the due process and be able to listen to us as the people. We also have a right to self-determination in terms of what happened. It doesn't help us, and it doesn't help the argument where they say, no, this is good for the economy, and it's also good for job creation. At what expense to the people? Because whatever happens, whether oil is found, whether they pump oil, that oil economy would never absorb all the livelihoods and would never be able to provide income to all of these people in the coastal area. Hence, this second case is all the fishing communities, the people in Amadiba. We are on board, and if you go to Port St. John's, the fishing folks there. You go to Dresa Chwebe, you go down to as far south as the Kai River mouth. So all of those communities, they are taking this to court in order to interdict and to stop it, because it is illegal what they are doing.
Is there a lot of politics in this? I mean, people are asking, I'm looking at the SMS line, people are asking, is the ANC involved in this? Do they have shares? Is there something going on here
We hear from the media, I think the coverage from a journalist of the Daily Dispatch, there is something which has been hinted that actually the ruling party has got a shareholding through another company which has got shares in this shell exploration. So there are politics definitely involved. We're still questioning that even with the Tolobeni, there is an SGF secretary, a company with 18%, which we have been trying to dig to find out who the SGF attorney is really, who's the real owner, an 18% shareholder, and our suspicion, and I'm underlining suspicion here, is that again the ruling party is actually, we suspect that they might be, which might be the reason why they are pushing so hard. And we think even with this one, with this shell exploration again, the indications there that the ruling party is actually is one of the shareholders who are standing to benefit from
absolutely.
This, which again is going to make it, which the court of law is our only hope in order to
deal with
the crisis that undermines our lives and our lives.
100%. Sinugugu Zukulu, thank you. Program manager at Sustaining the Wild Coast. A very important conversation to have.